This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 116, Tom Lehrer Karaoke. Hello again, everyone. You found it, and we are finally back. This is the Geek Dads, episode number 116. I am Ken Denmead, editor and publisher of GeekDad.com. And, you know, here with Matt and Jonathan, and it's like old times. And it's been a while. It's been like over a month, hasn't it?
It's been just about exactly a month, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
No. This is a very strange and wacky summer for things going on in our household, and I've had to miss a couple of podcasts in the row, which is lousy. And I know I've got some summer family trips coming up that will necessitate alternate podcast plans coming soon. So Matt, I guess you're going to get to host the next one, at least maybe one or two.
So could be fun.
You will have the power. I'll come back and you guys won't need me anymore.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I can podcast from Taiwan. That'll be interesting.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Just have to coordinate times and all. How far ahead is Taiwan?
It's something like 13 or 14 hours. So it's
That makes it pretty tough, actually.
It would be.
If you podcast at normal time.
Yes, yeah, that's true. It'll be early morning.
It'd be morning for him.
Early morning, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be fine. That'd be good. So, well, awesome. I guess, you know, there's been a lot of exciting stuff in the last couple of weeks. Of course, I think the biggest deal was that we all made it through National Geek Dad Day, and it was awesome. Did either of you guys actually get to go to any Geek Dad Day events anywhere?
Sadly, I did not.
I went out to OMSI, which is our science museum, but we ended up spending most of our time just wandering the their sort of interactive science exhibit hall. You know, I know one of the activities they had planned on their schedule was like bring your old broken toys and we'll try to repair them, or if we can't repair them, we'll hack them together into something else.
Oh, cool.
But we didn't actually have, you know, a lot of old broken toys to bring, so I didn't get to, you know, actually see that. My kids were like, oh well, let's go, you know, play with the whatever else, you know, the magnets and the we spent a while playing with the magnetic the ferrofluid.
Oh, neat!
Oh, that's awesome stuff.
Yeah, really cool. They had, you know, some suspended in the, you know, in a tank of water with magnets outside, and yeah, you can just watch that stuff for hours.
It's the new lava lamp.
Yeah, interactive lava lamp. Yeah.
Did you wear your Geek Dad shirt so that you could, you know, get some celebrity recognition there?
I did wear my Geek Dad shirt, which actually later in the afternoon we had a neighborhood get together, I got some people, you know, commenting on the shirt because they hadn't heard of Geek Dad before and were gonna go check it out.
Fantastic. So that sounds good. I mean, after all the build up and all the work we did on the blog to get the whole promotion ready, I very happily had an extremely quiet stay-at-home Geek Dad day, sitting playing video games with my sons, and you know, it was low key, and that was fine for me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I do like, and actually, Matt, you found it today. We got it posted that very serendipitous Adam Savage. Untitled podcast project episode 3 that he ran today that was all about being a geek dad. Although, interestingly enough, it would, you know, in his case, you know, he was referring to the words probably more so in the connotation of what the whole magazine promotion was, not so much directly because of our blog, but the Geek Mom blog did get a shout out or get mentioned in the podcast.
Yeah, I saw that. I heard that. Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool.
That was very cool.
But that was neat. And hopefully this Thursday, the Geek and Sundry channel, the video compilation of everybody's Geek Dad Day videos with a teaser by Will should go up. I have it on good authority. Our own Dave Banks, who has sort of managed that whole process, said he has seen it and it is awesome.
Excellent.
Very cool. Very much looking forward to that. So yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I didn't do much for on Sunday. We went out to brunch. Played some games. That was about it.
Yeah. Disappointingly, there was no mention of a Happy Geek Dad Day from the White House.
No, there was not. I believe the first family was in Chicago, but still, whatever. It was still cool.
It was cool. Yeah, you got to go do your event at the Eisenhower office building, which
could have been a little more interesting, but it was good. We got some networking afterwards. That was fun.
Excellent. Well, I would say it was an entirely successful first Geek Dad Day, and hopefully we will just continue to build on this. Hopefully we'll get a Geek Mom Day next year, and then a Geek Dad Day, and build our empire thusly.
Wow.
We'll take over the world. So other geeky news. I know Matt and I were enraptured with the WWDC announcements last week. I don't know if Jonathan was watching them with bated breath, but
I was sort of hoping there'd be an iPhone 5 announcement, but
Hell no. Yeah. That'll happen. They've got it's just one thing after another with them. The new laptop looks amazing. I don't need it. I'm gonna, I only bought a new MacBook Pro last year and it has SSD, so it's about as fast as I could ever hope for anyway, and I'm pretty happy with my machine now. But it is an impressive new machine. Definitely, that's the next evolution in laptops.
It is beautiful. I have yet to see, and I haven't really looked yet that much, but see anybody who's really tested the battery life to see if it's actually as good as they say it is.
Yeah.
Because with a screen like that, I have my doubts that the battery life is really that good.
Oh, well, they said the battery is significantly bulked up in size. It's like a third more battery capacity than previous ones just because of the screen.
Sure, that's true.
But
maybe they'll send me one. I'll test it out for them.
There you go. I am sure Jonathan would do a rigorous and thorough test.
Yes, I will spend 23 hours proofreading nonstop.
You're zooming in and out, Matt.
Yeah,
I was just trying to zoom out. It didn't quite work.
I was just discussing, with my wife recently that maybe it's about time to replace my desktop computer because it is coming up on five years old now.
Ooh.
I'm still using. I mean, I don't do a whole lot of heavy duty stuff on it, but I noticed the last Humble Indie Bundle.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, great! Maybe I'll finally get to play Limbo. I haven't actually played Limbo, and it won't run on Macs older than I think it said 2009." And I was like, mine's 2007. I need to buy a new Mac so I can play Limbo.
That's a good enough argument.
Yeah, that's a good to go with my the $15 game. I need to buy a new Mac.
Makes perfect sense to me. I don't know.
Where's the problem?
Where's the problem? There's no problem there. Let's see. Did anyone watch? Did you what? Did, hold on. Did, since we're well, before we get off the hardware talk, did you guys see the Windows Surface announcement?
No,
I didn't see it. I read about it afterwards.
It's actually very, very interesting. I think Microsoft has got themselves into the tablet game pretty substantially, pretty seriously. It's a slick machine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially the Pro version is sort of laptop on moderate steroids. That's basically a full or a tablet on steroids. I mean, it is a lovely 10-inch 16x9 screen with integral case that is a touch typing keyboard, and you know the thing runs full Windows 8 Pro. It's pretty and nicely designed. So I think there is now a third horse in the race.
Well, from what I've seen of Microsoft Windows 8, it's pretty slick. At my workplace, we had a preview version of it, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
test that out a little bit.
So I mean, you know. I do love my Apple products, but I think it's very, very cool, especially with how much, you know, flack Microsoft has gotten for, you know, they've been doing tablets for more than a decade, and they've never caught on, and it's like something finally clicked, and it looks like they have a real viable contender. And this is, you know, I saw somebody mention, this isn't so much a competitor for the iPad as a commercial, you know, or home device. This will be the thing that slows down the adoption of iPads in the enterprise at work, because this will be a tablet computer that will run full Microsoft Office.
That's true.
So that by itself is going to be very, very interesting to see how that plays out. And then once you've got that also, what does that do to the Android tablets? Because now, other than price, maybe, what point is there to having an Android tablet if everything you do at work you can do on the Windows tablet, and all the media stuff will be on there too?
Right.
So either you're in the Apple ecosystem and you love that ecosystem, or you're familiar with the Windows ecosystem, and so you go with that ecosystem.
Well, there are a lot of people who like Android devices as well, and also like to stay away from Microsoft.
Yeah, so. I'm talking about, you know, the growth for the still sizable percentage of people that have not got tablets yet.
Right.
Right.
Because that's still a huge market out there, and I think Microsoft getting in this way finally gives, you know, if you've never had a tablet, and it's very likely that the only computer you've ever worked on is a Windows machine, 90%, right. 90% versus 10% Mac, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So your first tablet, I can get the thing that I've used 90% of my life is going to be familiar to me again, or, you know, this untested quantity of Android. So that it seems to me like it's like that's a big elephant in the room now. So,
yeah.
All right, that's enough of that. What do you got, Matt? What do you got?
I think when we were sending the email around, I listed the various movies. Prometheus, which has been out for a couple weeks now, and upcoming things like Brave and Dark Knight Rises.
I have not seen Prometheus. Have any of you guys seen Prometheus?
I have.
I did, unfortunately.
Ooh. Unfortunately, you didn't like it.
I really, really did not like it. I thought it was B-movie.
Were you a big Aliens fan or not?
I liked Alien and Aliens. Yeah, absolutely. This was unfortunately not even close to either of those movies.
I think you know, I enjoyed it. My wife and I went and watched it. We had, you know, a morning, kind of late morning show, and it was, I mean, it was a lot more just, you know, here, what can we do to freak you out?
Yeah, exactly.
It was a lot of that.
They establish characters that are supposed to be, you know, experts, and then they proceed to make the stupidest possible decision in every case that they possibly could. Right.
And that's the part that really bugged me, though, was just kind of like, you know, you're on an alien planet with clearly, you know, something is there, and the scientists want to say, no, don't bring guns because this is a scientific mission. It's not a military mission. Like, well,
what could possibly
happen? Yeah, right. What could possibly go wrong?
I'm sorry. Whenever they beamed down from the Enterprise on a scientific survey, they still had phasers with them. Okay,
right. You know, it was things like that, and like, you know, the biologists like, oh yes, here's an alien life form that is acting hostile to me. Should I go touch it?
We discovered this atmosphere is breathable to us. Why don't we just take off our helmets without checking to see if there's bacteria or other microbes that could you know, instantly kill us or infect us with a horrible disease that we have no antibodies for.
Right. Oh, he didn't die right away. I guess we'll all take off our helmets now.
and then, you know, hey, we've got this head of this dead alien. We're going to bring it back to the ship. And when we perform the autopsy on it, we won't do it with any protection whatsoever. We'll just do it right out there in the open. We'll even smell it and talk about how it smells, because it couldn't possibly have any diseases that could kill us. No.
Yeah.
And Matt, you haven't done a top 10 scientific plot holes in Prometheus post yet?
Yeah, I probably should, actually. Yeah. Just thinking about it. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, well, I mean, they had some things, which I guess you've seen in other movies, too. But the, you know, there's a creature that's been locked in a completely sterile environment for quite a while, and yet somehow has managed to grow about 100 times in size.
Right. With no
food source whatsoever. It has managed to grow 100 times its size. There's something slightly wrong with that.
Well, you know, they didn't show you the inside of the room afterwards, so maybe it ate the
furniture,
the wall paneling, and the shelves, and the glass. You don't know. Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, it got really big with nothing to eat. I mean, well, you know, maybe there were things to eat in there. I don't know.
Well, you said there was bacteria in the air, right?
No, except that they run a decontamination cycle in the room.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it fails to kill that creature.
It was actually converting
kills everything else.
The oxygen and nitrogen in the atmosphere.
Right. Photosynthesis of some nature and you know, combined with
let's see, how does that go? How much mass would have to be?
I also want to know the weirdest casting decision. Why in God's name would you hire a guy, Guy Pearce, who's a good actor, mind you, but he's in his 40s, okay, to play a character in his, I believe, 90s he's supposed to be?
Right.
Okay, who never has a single... I kept expecting them to have a scene where he was, you know, de-aged somehow, but no, that never came. He's just 90 throughout the whole... in his 90s when, every time he appears. Why don't you hire somebody who's, I don't know, old? So you don't have to have a young guy sit through 6 hours of makeup and then act old.
Well, I have a feeling that may have to do with bigger story issues, because I believe it is planned for 3 movies.
Yeah,
but and there was
unless
the,
they radically change something, this character isn't going to be in the next movie.
Yeah. Well, but he might be in it as an android, or and there was the preview that fake Ted movie they did as a viral video for it that used him as young, so there could possibly be a master plan to it. You never know.
Yeah, but you could also, you could very easily do the here's the young person and here's the older actor playing the old version. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
get people who look something alike and, you know, make makeup so that they look a little more alike. Yeah. It would have made much more sense. It just because he looked like a young guy wearing old makeup, too.
Right. Really. And I pointed that out to Rob, and I said, of all the stuff in this movie that was completely unreal but looked real and solid, Guy Pearce was the least convincingly real thing there. Oh, man. Right? I mean, I saw him and I was like, he looks like a guy with makeup on.
Yeah.
And it was really, it was like, he doesn't look like a real old person. He looks like, yeah, a guy with old person makeup on.
Pretending to
be ill. Right, which is ironic in this thing where it's like, you know, I'm sure, you know, so much of this movie is actors standing in a green screen, you know, with sure. absolutely nothing around them. Right. And here we have like the one guy who's, you know, physically actually there. And you're just like, yeah, it looks really fake.
It's true. Yeah, yes. There is a certain irony there because it would have been so easy to have made him look real.
Right.
Not to mention cheaper. It would have been cheaper to have made him. But I don't know. Yeah, that was. And I also thought that they telegraphed all of the plot twists way ahead of time. So, like, if you've seen any science fiction thriller type movie ever, you know what's going to happen at every single stage.
Yeah, I get this impression that the director, who is now what, 70 something?
Something like that, yeah.
Isn't he? He's like making movie after movie after movie now. It's like he's accelerating into his latter years, and maybe the quality of story is going downhill or something.
Well, sadly, he's now working on the sequel to Blade Runner. So.
Yep, that's interesting. So, I mean, yeah, he's going back and revisiting all of these early films and doing sequels or connected stories or whatever, and it's a little bit. It's interesting.
Yes.
I'm not sure what if we. Yeah, if I simply worry that we'll get, you know, Gladiator 2.
That would be interesting. Conclusion doesn't exactly set it up for that.
Well, yeah, but he could come back as an android.
They could combine it with Prometheus too.
Exactly. Right. Well, it's all, you know, it's all happened before. It'll all happen again. No, I don't know.
That's different.
All right.
At least, as far as I know, they are not actually going to bring Harrison Ford back for the sequel to Blade Runner.
That's
because that would just be ridiculous.
Made this.
Well, I could have him go hunting a crystal skull, and then
it's been done.
Okay. What, Brave opens tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Is it tomorrow? I guess I can't remember.
Ooh, nice. The Art of Brave.
This weekend.
It is. I did get the chance to see it last week, and it was great, I have to say. It was everything I had hoped it would be.
Fabulous.
The sad thing was, they sent, Chronicle Books sent me this, The Art of Brave, which is gorgeous, and it's great to see. I mean, they talk a lot about, you know, the making of the story and, you know, what they found when they went and took their trip to Scotland. It was like, oh, yeah, you know, the environment and the weather are these dynamic, you know, things that they want to make into a character in the movie, right? You know, just
it doesn't open until setting. Friday, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Setting Friday, the environment. But sadly, one of the big plot points that is not revealed in the trailer, it is, of course, revealed in the book when you're looking at all the concept art. And so I was like, oh, I really should have waited.
Gosh darn it, why wasn't there a big spoiler warning on the front of the book? That's not fair.
If it's the plot point that I'm assuming it is, it's fairly early. It's pretty early in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, and now I've seen, like, so I went ahead and looked at the storybook app. And so I know the plot of the story now, and yes, it does happen fairly early, but still, it's something that you don't know until you go see the movie, which is refreshing that they didn't actually put that in the trailer.
It's true.
That's nice.
It is true.
You know, as opposed to, the trailer we saw before Prometheus for the Ben Stiller movie.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it looks great, right?
So good.
But it's like, you know, it's Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn and you know, it looks Jonah like Hill. A buddy movie.
Jonah Hill. Yeah.
You know, it's called The Watch, and it's like these buddies, you know, forming a neighborhood watch for aliens.
And they're convinced that there are aliens around there. And then, of course, the movie reveals that there actually are.
Right. And I'm like, I'm sure, you know, that whoever, you know, I'm sure that the movie itself is written so that until the aliens show up, you're supposed to think it's a stupid buddy guy movie, you know, a guy's, mm-hmm. you know, look at these guys who never grew up and live in their mom's basements and whatever. And then the aliens show up and it becomes a sci-fi movie. But of course they reveal all of that in the trailer.
Yeah.
Mm. Including showing you the aliens. So
yeah,
it's like, it's
pretty stupid. Yeah. Just from that, you could pretty much write the entire movie.
Right. And it frustrates, you know, it frustrates me that this is how we do trailers now though, because we can't expect the audience to go and see a movie that they don't already know how it's going to turn out.
Right. Well, I mean, with Prometheus, they didn't have to. I mean, yes, everybody said, oh, you know, it's going to be a prequel to Alien. But, I mean, they kind of kept that that it definitely was under wraps until fairly late.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to reveal in the trailer that, yes, that you know, they go off there looking for humanity's creators. They didn't have to reveal that, you know, A, whether they actually find them, and B, whether it's actually a good thing that they find them. You right. know, but yet the trailers all made it very clear that bad things happen to the crew when they get there.
Right. Yeah, this is not a happy...
Really? That's the story?
Obviously,
why did you tell me that? Oh my god! Now you ruined the whole.
Obviously, if you know it's a prequel to Alien, then you can guess that bad things are going to happen to the crew because been there, done that.
I mean, you would have thought, you know, they would have seen Alien and known not. So that's what I want to see. I want to see a sequel to a film that's set in a universe where all the characters have seen the original film. But they know.
That's why this was a prequel. See, they didn't have a chance to see it yet. It's coming later.
Oh well.
Yeah, it's. No, Brave is a very refreshing movie. It's very nice to see. I mean, the main character is technically a princess, but only in that, you know, she's the daughter of a queen and king. But
yeah, technicalities, huh?
She does not act like a princess, does not want to be a princess, and does not, in fact, fall in love with anybody during the course of the movie.
Hey.
Which is very, very refreshing. Yes, does not need a man to be complete. Yes, it is. It's nice. Because even like Mulan, you know, which has strong female character,
right.
She has to fall in love before the end of the movie.
Right. Yeah. Excellent. Well, good. I have no idea when I'm going to get a chance to go see it, but... Ooh, wait a minute. We could go see it while we're at Disney World.
You could. Ooh. In fact, they're doing, in Epcot, I think they're doing Scottish games and such.
That's what I hear. Ooh, that. All right, now I'm excited. Now that's
Go toss some capers.
Just get yourself a kilt, you know.
Utilikilts. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward. So the next podcast I will not be on because I will be at Walt Disney World. I am so happy. So if, you know, the whole blog falls apart, oh well.
you'll be in the happiest place on earth.
Right. So I'll be like, oh, look, the blog's not loading. Oh, well. It's a world of laughter. Oh, yeah. No, that's going to be good. Let's see. What else? Right. And we've got Dark Knight. I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with Dark Knight. It looks great. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it.
Yeah.
And it's still not clear, other than maybe he's just some really good cop.
Who he actually is, yeah.
Yeah, who he actually is in the storyline. I'm still way interested to see Anne Hathaway as Catwoman,
mm.
and what her role is, what the character will do in the movie too, because right. and I don't even I am still sort of unclear on how, you know, they've shown us a lot of stuff in the previews and the trailers, but I'm still not, you know, how it all relates to the comic books where, you know, Bane broke Bruce Wayne's back, and Batman was actually gone for a while. But my understanding of the plot with this is that it's more like after, you know, after Dark Knight Returns, or after after the last one, like, things were okay for a while, so he's gone into retirement, and then Bane shows. I do not know how the plot's going to unfold in this.
Well, I mean, when they ended at the end of the Dark Knight, he's supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be hunting him because, you know, he's supposed to be
right.
So
he laid low after that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we know the Bane storyline from the comic books, and wondering how much of that will get adapted into the movie. So and there have been suggestive shots in the trailers of the moment or the time when Bane actually beats Batman. So yes. I wonder, you know, when does that happen in the movie, and if there's more or less afterwards. And we just lost Matt's video.
I deliberately turned it off and on because I was frozen. Oh, so okay. We'll see if it comes back. There you go, Matt.
You're just out of focus, man. You need to get some focus in your life.
Yeah. It's supposed to autofocus. Anyway. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I am glad that they cleaned up Bane's audio for in between the first trailer and the later trailers, because the first trailer, I couldn't understand half of what he said.
Yeah, it might have just been that scene, too, but, and you know, the first time, there wasn't a lot of what he said. We got a lot more dialogue in the later trailers, so that you could sort of get used to his cadence and to the effects that they were processing on him, too, but... it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's not until July, though, right?
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, you know, change of pace after, you know, Avengers, kind of a, you know, different kind of superhero movie.
That's why I loved John's comic from last week.
That was terrific. Yeah.
It wasn't actually
John's comic, but yeah.
Right.
Well, it was his idea, and he got a buddy to draw it up.
Right.
Yeah. I said thanks for running that in the middle of my my you know, serious comics posts.
Yeah. That's true. And then of course there's Spider-Man.
I'll have to refer to that one because I actually do have one. I actually do have one coming up that's going to be about superhero comics specifically. You know, that there are superhero comics that are not just you know, sort of escapist fantasy, you know, that there are some very well done superhero comics as well, that I think qualifies as serious literature.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, then you,
I mean, all of
you
them.
Got your popcorn.
What I don't understand the Avengers. Differentiation, Jonathan.
All of them.
Of course.
Mm. When you name your kid, you know, when your guy's name is Scott Free, I don't know. It's kind of hard to take seriously.
Just a little. And then there's the Spider-Man, of course, coming out.
I am going to completely ignore that unless for some strange and bizarre reason, you know, it starts getting talked about as an Oscar contender. Because I just... it may be perfectly good, but it's... So soon after three pretty successful and well done Spider-Man movies, and
successful and well done. I remember two pretty successful.
Oh, two. Yeah, okay.
Right. Well, I remember three successful, not well done necessarily.
I enjoyed all three of them. Yeah. So, and I mean, it's like, I don't know how much new or different they can do, and hopefully they're not retelling too much of you know, the origin stories or any of that. And it's just like, eh, okay. Although Dennis Leary looks really good in his as the cop going after him.
Captain Stacy, yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to say that Andrew Garfield does look the part of Peter Parker a lot more than Tobey Maguire did. he looks much more like the part it's drawn. And I like the fact that they're having him actually manufacture web fluid.
Yes.
It doesn't just magically come out of his arms.
Yes. True to the original.
Exactly. It's like, okay, yes, spiders, real spiders can actually produce it, but they don't produce it out of their arms, first of all.
Out of their wrists, where it's very convenient for people to swing by.
It's so handy.
Yes, and of course, the amount that he would have had to eat to make up for the amount of body mass he would have lost.
There you go again, Matt. My goodness, bringing physics and science into this. I
know, it's terrible.
Oh, man.
Not to be a laugh.
They need to redo a Spider-Man where it's more, scientifically, anatomically correct. He's got to have a whole different posture for slinging.
Yeah. I actually once for National Write a Novel Month, I wrote up a super my novel was a superhero story, but the idea never explained how the superhero had his powers, but the most important thing about it was that whatever he did still required the actual amount of energy that would have to be utilized to do whatever he did. So usually after he did something, with super strength or speed or something, because he had the ability to mimic any superhero effect that he had read about in a comic book. So if he could imagine it, he could do it. And he could levitate, he could fly, whatever. But he would actually have to, he would, after a certain point, like flying, what is the energy to levitate, disregard whatever the mechanism was, the energy that it would take to levitate your body a certain level, height off the ground and move it around and stuff, the force, requires a specific amount of energy. After a period of time, he would get really, really, really hungry and have to eat a whole lot just to make up for anything that he did. And at the final battle where he's like having to do all this stuff, he actually, ends up completely emaciated. And it starts eating away at his muscular structure and all this stuff because he's using all of the power and not the energy. So there was an actual some sort of law of thermodynamic law being in effect there. So gosh darn it, that's what we want to see. No.
No, I mean, I'm holding off judgment. It could be a decent movie. It is weird the trend of British actors playing American superheroes, but
that's because other than Judge Dredd, they're never going to get a UK created superhero turned into a movie.
that's a good point. Yeah, can't really.
I'm real familiar with a lot of British creators.
I can't really think of anyone other ones off the top.
There's one I read called the Jack Staff. It's more of a tongue in cheek, like, guy wears a big Union Jack,
right?
And has a stick. And other than that, I'm not sure that he actually has any superpowers. but he goes around and fights crime.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch that came out of 2000 AD and all right, those books, and anything Alan Moore did before he came over here, all right, to a certain extent, although they're published by American publishers, a lot of Warren Ellis's stuff.
That's true.
How do you differentiate the creator from the publisher, though?
Oh, right.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, guys. Well, I know we've going a little bit shorter than normal, but I know I've got some time things I got to take care of tonight. Any last minute things? Any posts to highlight or any upcoming stuff we want to talk about?
I put up a review of the new upcoming cartoon show on Disney called Gravity Falls, which is
cool.
Sort of science fiction-y. It's got monsters. It's not very Scooby-Doo like, although there's a few little hints of that here and there, but it's a lot of fun, and it's in the sort of the same vein as Phineas and Ferb style, where, you know, there's some things that are aimed at kids and there's some things that kids are not really intended to get, but that grown-ups are.
Good. Good.
I got some, still working on some more of my comics series. And I've just been reading a big stack of comics. It's been pretty fun, actually.
Awesome. I loved your unboxing of Leviathan. That was well done.
Oh,
that was very cool.
You know, and I have no idea when I'm going to get to play that thing. I mean, the reading material for this game. I was like, it's like 200 pages before you just. I mean, the quick start guide is longer than most game manuals for
aptly named.
Yeah, yes. It's a Leviathan. Yes.
It's a huge box with a huge game in it. it looks great. It looks fantastic. But it's one of those things where probably I'm going to recruit, probably Rhea, because he plays a lot of miniature war games. And it's like, all right, you teach me how to play this game. this is not my usual line of board games. But that was fun to do. The Dragon Box app, I'm still raving about that to everyone. So I'll just put in another plug, because my 5-year-old is doing algebra now.
Ooh.
It's an app. So this is the thing. The app actually teaches you algebra, right? It's not like if you look at most math apps or most educational apps, like, you have to know how to do addition already to play an addition game. You just get practice. It's flashcards with fancy, bells and whistles.
Right, right.
And this is a game where the mechanics of the game are the rules of algebra. So as you are playing the game, you are learning the rules of algebra, but it doesn't tell you that up front. For all you know, for all my kids know, right, they're just playing this game with little cards and little creatures. And it's not until later that it starts looking more like an algebraic equation. So it's called Dragon Box. Right. And it is absolutely worth it. So, I mean, both of my kids are playing it now, and I played it. I mean, I was looking, I was like, it's a fun little game. And I think it's one that it doesn't necessarily teach you the underlying concept. And that is where, a teacher is still required, right?
Sure.
And it's something where, the app enforces the rules. So you can't divide by 5 over here and forget to do it over here. And once you get it on paper, that's where you're going to have to do the practice and go, okay, no, what did I miss? But as far as learning, what are the mechanics of here I'm presented with an equation. How do I isolate the X onto one side of the equation? This is a game that does that in a really, really amazing way. So it's great.
You have to take.
I'm telling everybody. Everybody should go get this.
I'll definitely try it, because my kids love math, but they're not quite at the algebra stage yet. So that's
and that's the interesting thing was that it does not require. It actually you don't have to know how to add and subtract even to play this game.
I imagine it would help though, right?
You know what? Not until you get to like level 5. Until you get to level 5, you don't even have to know that that's what you're doing, that you're adding and subtracting. So you gotta see it.
I will take a definitely take a look at it.
My 5-year-old, she knows how to do some simple addition and subtraction, but she doesn't know negative numbers yet. And here she is, like, okay, here's how you cancel out things. You don't have to know what you're. You don't have to know math. You don't have to know arithmetic to do algebra. So, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Now I got to teach her arithmetic.
Now Tom Lehrer's song "New Math" is running through my head, but
new math. Hey, when will you do you a bit of good to get new math? You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3. So you look at the 4 and the 10s place. Now that's really 4 tens, so you make 3 tens, and you change a 10 to 10 ones and moved it. Anyway.
Add it to the 3.
I'm impressed.
Tumblr geeks rule.
Yeah. It's so simple. So very simple that only a child can do it. Yeah.
Jonathan, you have not been properly schooled in your Tom Lehrer, no, have you?
I don't know that one as well as some of the other ones. Like yeah, Poisoning Pigeons in the Park and the Masochism Tango are ones that I, you know,
spring
listen to.
Is
but,
here. Spring is here.
And, of course, you've heard the Element song.
Yes. In many different versions, including sung by Daniel Radcliffe, so...
There needs to be an updated version of it, though, because, of course...
Exactly, because we've got all new...
they've now got to name all those ones.
Livermorium and...
Right.
Copernicium, you know.
Yeah. I could do a whole podcast just singing Tom Lehrer songs.
I'd be up for that.
I don't know if anybody would want to listen to that. I know maybe 2-3 other people in the world that would actually listen, but yeah.
Actually, Lehrer karaoke.
Yeah. Ooh, wait a minute.
There's a Kickstarter project for you.
Yeah, I do actually always get tempted. You know, first of all, he is still alive, living in Santa Cruz, and he's listed in the book. I read a interview with him about 5 years ago. Where somebody talks to him, asks him about, you know, do you get a lot of people bugging you or whatever. He says, no, not really. I mean, that'd be fine if they did. I'm listed, but you know,
he's still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive.
No, I knew he was still alive, but yeah, I didn't know he was listed in the film.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
So,
yeah,
good. So we got to lose.
Yeah. So anyway,
what happens? He says, "No, I'm not going to talk to you. Just shut up and go away." Right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And then you've lost nothing, right?
But it would be cool. It would be cool to hear him say that. So.
That's true.
So, yeah, Tom Lehrer, or turn me down in person.
Yeah. Put that alongside, you know, alongside I've got, you know, after doing that interview with Morgan Freeman, I took a clip of the interview and turned it into my ringtone. I have Morgan Freeman saying, "Hi, Ken," as my ringtone. So, I can switch back and forth between that and Tom Lehrer saying, "Go away, kid."
No, I'm tempted to separate out that part of my interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Exactly. Hi, Matt. Matt, have you seen the song and video for the I'm with Neil? I think it got published on. It was on the front page of Wired today.
Oh, okay. I'll take a look.
Some guys did a great sort of post-punk kind of I'm with Neil, you know, interspersed with good, you know, clips of him saying really smart, cool stuff. So as he is wont to do. So
he was really quite a joy to talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they auto-tune him though? So he's singing?
No. Just good clips of him.
Yeah, his voice is good enough already. You know,
it is. All right, guys. Well, I think we'll wrap this one up. I'm just going to say thank you, Matt and Jonathan, as always. Appreciate you guys coming on early tonight so we could take care of this after missing the last one.
Yep.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate that.
Thank you for hosting.
Absolutely. Just get ready. You're next, buddy. Otherwise, I will say this has been the Geek Dads episode number 116. I'm Ken Denmead, editor of geekdad.com. That's Matt. That's Jonathan. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. So long.
So long.
Bye. Thank you.
Dad.